Save big money on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine interior paint and primer in one is Dutch Boy's best hiding and most durable paint. It delivers a smooth, elegant finish while providing maximum scuff, stain, and mark resistance. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and get your painting project started today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel as we get you through the start of another week. As we remain practicing social distancing and the suggestion to stay at home. Which, Nick, how are the roads today, by the way?
I mean, there's plenty of cars out there. Plenty of cars.
Must be, because they're still doing traffic on all the morning news stations.
But yeah, I mean, I was on the road at six in the morning? Plenty of cars.
Yeah, you had to do the long, this is the long day for you today, right?
Well, it's always a long shift now with the way COVID is going right now.
Well, it's definitely crazy, but we want to try and be a little levity in your day with everything that you guys got going, whether you're working and you're essential like Nick, or you're just making sure that you practice social distancing and staying at home, spending some family time. I did get some interesting messages from friends that unforeseen in the basketball industry this time of year, getting able to spend some quality time with their family, and they're loving it. Other people have, as we've mentioned, struggling with the fact that they're actually spending more time than they ever could have imagined with their family, which can cause issues. But hopefully you're somewhere in between.
what say you? You good?
I am.
You ready
I'm actually,
to get back to the office?
No, I'm good with it. I actually told Lisa, I actually liked, once we got all the technical bugs and everything ironed out, I actually enjoyed being able to do it from home. I said, there's obviously limitations, and I wish we almost had like a lot of these that you see on the net where, or on the news, where people, especially that are doing college classes like that, where Peyton Manning kind of snuck in to one of the classes at Tennessee or whatever. But you can see on screen everybody's monitor with everybody's face when you're doing any kind of video conferencing or whatever. It would help us because we have so many nonverbals between Nick behind the glass and you and I sitting next to each other that just from a queuing and kind of in and out standpoint, it would help. But other than that, I didn't have any problem with last week or even today.
Yeah, it has. What I like the most is right now, I'm drinking a beer. Yeah,
that's
I'm
nice.
Doing that.
On air.
Because I can't.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And what's okay. See, you would have never known had I not said anything.
Well, you also tweeted that you think at some point you have to wear pants again. So we get the idea that you're pretty comfortable, literally, being comfortable at the house.
I am not wearing pants right now. That is a fact. 1,000%.
I am not either. Nick, are you?
I didn't even do the TV show in pants, so.
You just threw the covers over you.
No, this week I put on the blazer and a t-shirt. I bought a t-shirt from Gooseworks. That supports local restaurateurs, I guess, restaurateurs. It's a service industry shirt. So you pay $20 for this shirt. It's called Houston To Go. And then $10 goes to the small business that printed it, and the other $10 goes to the Houston service industry. So to support waiters and waitresses and everybody else in the service industry that's out of work. So I wore that with the blazer, no pants.
Okay.
Yeah. It feels good. I don't want to go back to pants. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, see, and I responded to your tweet essentially that basically it was my first year at Gal until you guys gave me heat that I never thought I'd ever have to wear pants again, and then you shamed me into
funny.
It. But now that you're comfortable, you understand what I was feeling like. There's nothing like being able to go through the whole day just wearing shorts. It's fantastic, or less if it's you. But I'm just saying, there's something to be said for that.
No doubt, but I wouldn't do that around other people because I have class and couth. Just saying.
Really? Okay. And Nick, you don't ever clamor for the pantless attire.
Don't need to. Don't need to.
Do you guys need pics of me with no pants on?
Negative.
Nope.
Nope. You can
nope.
keep that.
Are you sure?
Nope.
I can.
Nobody wants. My dog doesn't want to see it. Nobody wants to see it.
No? All right. I can provide those if you need them.
That's why we made it clear and we responded very quickly, sir.
Okay. Fair enough.
There you go. By the way, I don't know if you saw this or not. Yeah, go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I was just going to say there's an article in the New York Post that there's a condom shortage. I'm not sure if you guys know this or not.
Oh, boy.
Should have called Joe Exotic.
Yeah. Well,
he's got condoms.
So well, he's got funny. The underwear, too. Condom shortage looms as coronavirus shuts down production of condom plants. Because the condom makers' production factories are in Malaysia, that there is going to be a problem with manufacturing them. So, therefore, people that are sexually active are also going to have to be, to some degree, practicing social distancing, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no.
Yeah, 50% of its workforce has been given permission to be there.
People aren't going to stop doing it. They're just going to do it without condoms.
I agree. There's going to be more babies, more diseases, yeah. All that stuff.
There's, a lot more of all of it. We're gonna get through this COVID-19, and then it's going to be like, damn, we need to... Now we got a social distance because of herpes simplex. We need
HIV 20.
We need to, yeah, right.
Yeah,
pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about it. Like, well, with social distancing, that means that unlike when we hear about all the other moments in time when people were cooped up, that the pregnancy rate went way up, and people go, oh, that was back when this or that happened. I was thinking in this case, numbers are going to go way down because you're supposed to be practicing social distancing. But now, because of the condom factory shutting down, you might see a spike. You just don't know.
Be a lot more babies.
I guess so. And also, Nick, I mean, because you're the single one of the three, I specifically mentioned this to you, but the Chronicle ran a story that they said that based on the social distancing and everything else, that the COVID-19 could be responsible for a giant cultural shift in dating apps, and the fact that so many people were so focused on meeting the right person and or dating through online dating sites, and now it literally all has to be done online because right now you're not supposed to be meeting people in person.
Well, I did hear, I was talking to my buddy about that, and he was like, yeah, some of the online dating apps like Hinge and Bumble and Tinder are more active now than ever before, just because, I guess if you have enough game, you can spit some game through Messenger, through whatever Messenger app that they have, and then maybe, just maybe, you connect with this person. Because I was told by several people that that actually doesn't help the process, because I think apps on dating site apps are all way more active now than they ever have been. You can't talk to nobody.
Well, but that's the thing. You can't talk to them, but you also can't cultivate a relationship, because they were interviewing one of the ladies from Match.com who said, as the virus started, everything started to spiral out of control and fizzle out because people could actually meet someone new online, start the casual conversation, but at some point it fizzles out quickly because it's hard when you want to take that next step and you can't go meet with them and you can't go on a date and you can't hang out. So it just kind of stuck in the mud in the exact same place. So you end up being friends and sending gifts and memes and funny stuff to kind of be conversational, but you never really know if there's anything worth developing because you don't meet them face to face.
I guess
when you date, you want to bang it out at some point. That's the damn problem.
I mean, that's unless you're into that kind of virtual reality. It can be a problem. So
but who mentions it first? If you're connected, like if you had a match or whatever on the app, who makes the first move and say, hey, you want to meet? Because if you say that, one of you is going to view the other person as disgusting for wanting to meet during COVID-19, right? This is just an assumption.
Are you?
I don't know.
Or you look like the creeper that says, hey, we can't meet in person, but you want to kind of take it to the next level, ooh, like online?
Do you think that there is more video sexting going on, or video sexing?
I think depending on how long this lasts, I would think that the percentage of people doing that would go up.
Are y'all gonna try it tonight?
Negative.
What do you mean, y'all? My wife is like 15 feet from me. I don't have to worry about that.
No. Just experiment, Joel.
Yeah, because Lisa's that type of girl. No, that that's not happening.
Make it spicy.
I mean, but and the article goes on to say that, like, you know, it used to be you do whatever you want. You go to a bar or you can go online. You make your own rules. You date how you want to date, and you can figure out what's best for you. And now it's like essentially the COVID-19 virus is telling you this is the only way that you can do this right now. You can meet people online, but then basically your options are limited.
Yeah. I don't know that I would risk it. I don't know that I would be. I don't know if it would be worth it.
I don't think it is, but I think that a lot of people, as we saw with the spring break footage, sometimes are thinking from a male perspective with the other head, if you know what I mean, and that they're doing exactly what they want to do, regardless of what the world is telling them to do. So I can understand where the article is coming from, however, in the fact that if you are trying to be socially responsible, you're in kind of a tough situation right now.
Do you think at some point that dudes are going to be like, you know what, I can't do it anymore. I'm just going to go meet and risk it. And if I get the virus, I get the virus.
100%.
So you do, it's Nick? A double risk, though.
But I think dudes will think like that, 100%.
But you're risking both the COVID-19 and whatever venereal diseases you could get because you don't have condoms, and you're risking babies. It's a pitchfork of a risk. It's a three-pronged risk. Of all those, I'd say the babies option is the worst. Oh, could you imagine? Give me COVID.
Jeez. I mean, only you, Barry. Seriously.
He'd rather have the virus than kids.
Bro, I'd rather just that's how much he fall hates out kids. Than have a kid. I'd rather have to just... What's that in your side pocket there? Oh, that's my lung. It fell out. But you know what it wouldn't be? What's that on your hip? That's my lung. Not a kid. It's not a kid on my hip because daddy dodged that bullet. Mm.
Jeez. I'll be sure. Taylor will be sure to remember at all times the one she likes and the Nick and the one that she doesn't.
No. Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. It's not that I don't love kids. I have nieces and nephews, and I love them to death. I have a I'm a great uncle. One of my niece has a baby, and I love that little kid. I just don't want any of my own. I'm good. I love babies.
Based on
love
what
kids,
you've told us, I don't want you to have mine. One either.
No, I don't.
Because that kid would be in serious jeopardy.
Yeah, how do you interact with that kid, Barry? Like, are you...
I would
on the same level.
I would get him some meow Joanna and then put him in a room somewhere and just let him, you know. Well,
like
if it's
I said,
safe
Nick,
enough for a cat, it's safe enough for a kid, right?
Boy.
No.
CPS okay. Should use you as the example of what not to do with kids. Like, this is how you mess things up as a parent. Watch this video of Barry Laminate.
This is how you go to jail. Okay.
Once they got done fighting over, like, the wiffle ball set, Nick, that's how they get along. They get along just fine when the kid understands who's boss, Barry, just by a little bit.
He hates kids. He hates old people. It's just the way it is.
Nope. Don't hate
old
people.
Everybody else. An old person approaching Barry Laminate right now, and he thinks that the old man has COVID. He'd punch him in the face.
I don't hate old people. I mean, they're kind of
gross. Let me put my glove on first before I punch you in the face, though. Hold on.
When you think... And the other thing is, when you think about it, depending on the day, he hates kids, he hates old people, and the people in between piss him off quite a bit, too.
Oh, boy. Do they ever.
See?
Yeah,
just look
true.
At the text line
like
or Twitter sometimes. No, not. It depends on the day.
That's true.
All right, we'll continue to roll through the final hour of the show as we still have plenty to get to. You guys are still texting and tweeting. We appreciate that as well. And if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, if you want to send that text, that tweet, or reach out to us and let us know you're a suspect on a Monday in the big city. We are the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, taking through your afternoon. As it's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday. And, you know, we were just talking about the fact that obviously with everything that's going on now with COVID-19 and social distancing and encouragement to stay at home, people have a lot of time on their hands. Well, Nicholas, I'm going to let you explain this one, but there are idiots in this world that have too much time on their hands that don't think. We talk about like which head you're thinking with when you're doing online dating during this time, but if you're a former boxer and you decide that the right thing to do would be to post a video of how you could knock out your wife.
Yeah, it's a pretty disturbing video, but you know, we always talk about how athletes who are a part of violent sports like football, like boxing, like MMA, who they have to have that professional side where obviously they have to have a certain amount of aggression in order to be successful at what they do, but they also have to be able to channel that aggression when need be. And Billy Joe Saunders is a former boxer. I guess he's trying to stay relevant, only 30 years old, but he posts a video, it's either Twitter or Instagram, about how you could knock your wife out in the event she's, I don't know, like acting up, according to him. It sounds pretty crazy. It sounds like this.
Your old woman's giving you a little bit of mouth, and you know, you try to be patient, you try to be calm, cool, but out of the seventh day, or sixth day, shall I say, you're just about to explode. All of a sudden, she's coming at you now, spitting a bit of venom in your face, ready to say something. You may have left the dishes out. You may have, I don't know what you've done, but you've upset her. So as she comes in, she's coming at you and you've lost it. You've lost it, just keep it safe with the hands. So as she comes in, she's just about to say something. All of a sudden, you explode. Bam! On the chin. Yeah, so you've hit her on the chin. At this time, she may flash and see white, thinking, what's just happened? Has he done it? I can't believe this. Whoa, what's happened? She don't know what's happened. She's in a state of horror at the minute. She don't know what's gone on. You know, that flash has come. You know? And all of a sudden, you just dip down on that knee, spring up. So you finish her off. Bam. That should do the trick.
Are you serious?
Yeah, pretty crazy.
That guy's a dumbass. What on earth would possess you to make a video like that? Like, I realize he's trying to be funny, but in 2020, you can't
exactly.
Do a whole. Now, if you wanted to be like, hey, you know, sometimes me and my wife like to box, and so here's how. If you and your wife are going to box at the house, okay, you know what I mean? But you just, oh, your wife's getting on your nerves? Here's how you beat her. Nope, you're a dumbass.
You know what? If he's trying to be funny, Barry, you need to give him some pointers, because when you watch that video, he's literally showing you the technique. Throw the right,
yeah.
Finish her off with the left. Like, he seems pretty serious. So if he's trying to be funny, you need to give him some pointers, Barry.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys, because I thought maybe I was missing the boat, but I was like, nope, didn't sound like it, didn't look like it. Like, he had the slightest inkling of trying to entertain and be funny, he just looked like a dumbass.
Well, some people, I will, not in his defense, but I will say some people that'll make a video trying to seem serious to be funny. It's not unheard of. But in this case, it's just not the right, it's not the right kind of joke. It's not the right kind of message. It's just.
Plus, he's a champion. He's a WBO super middleweight champion, and you're acting like that. Like, I mean, you already have enough to defend off and defend being a violent sport in itself. There's actually people out there that actually think you don't exist, despite the fact that boxing has been around for over 100 years. Like, you shouldn't act like that.
It's dumb. Isn't this another one where whether you have, I hate to say a wife in this case, but if you have someone close enough to you, they go, you know, I was thinking of posting this. Before I do, what do you think? Because someone in their right mind has got to tell him, you're a freaking idiot. Don't do that.
Pretty dumb. I don't have any explanation for it, to be honest with you.
I just, man.
There's got to be.
Go ahead, Barry.
I was just going to say, there's got to be somebody in this dude's camp that says, hey, before you post stuff, just hit us up. And we'll you know, just run it by us real quick. Just his PR person or his manager or whoever. Yeah, just let us know. But, you know, I mean, athletes want their own identity and all that. And, okay. But this is what happens.
Yeah, maybe your social media decision making should be suspended. But I can't tell if someone, it might have been a situation where he just put the video down on a table somewhere and shot the video himself. I can't tell if he shot the video himself or if there was someone like holding the camera and perhaps shooting it for him. Because then that, I think that's even more stupid. But if he did it by himself, yeah, you're right, Barry. Maybe his team should be like, you know what? Let me clear every little video that you decide to post from going forward, because it may not help your career. Your license has been suspended until a hearing by the British Council over there. There's a board that's going to go over the case. But as of now, your license is suspended because of a dumb tweet. So maybe you should clear it with your team.
Yeah, no question about it. Here's one
real
for
quick,
you.
A couple of texts.
Oh, go ahead. Yep.
Sorry. But this one says, this was back early in the show. That's why I wanted to get to it. It was at 154. But it says, I'm a police officer. We were talking about people being out and about. Mm-hmm. I'm a police officer in Beaumont, and we still have beauty salons and barber shops open. I'm headed to my second one today to enforce the essential business only order. I will say this. If you're on TV, barber shops are essential. Man, I was like, I really need a haircut bad.
I thought you were going to say, if you're in TV, then you better be careful, because I saw a feature. This is how bad it's gotten for local television. I saw a feature in which the investigative department of the news that normally is going after like politicians and things was literally tattling on barbershops and beauty salons for still being open when they weren't supposed to be. And then the authorities were showing up.
Oh, really?
That's just dirty, man. Like one guy, one guy's like barbershop was like, and he had a whole wall of like all the celebrities that he's cut hair for and all the athletes. But he literally was like inside an office building. So from the street, it wasn't like in a strip center where you said, oh, there's a Supercut, so there's whatever. So he had like the best kept secret, and people that I'm sure that were in the building could still get their hair cut, stuff like that. Nope. They had to go in and go, nah, you know, you're not supposed to be doing that. Next thing you know, they had to shut the whole operation down. If I'm the owner, I'm like, man, screw you.
Sons of bitches.
Snitches get stitches.
Just brutal.
Right.
All right, well, I mentioned that Kirk Herbstreit and Brian Windhorst might be the two black clouds in terms of people that are hopeful for sports getting started at all, let alone sooner rather than later. Now you might be able to add Jeff Van Gundy's name to that list. I'll tell you why when we come back for the final half hour of the show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Before we go to break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I've been telling you about them for quite a while now. Fellas, if you're out there and you just don't have the energy you once had, you don't feel the motivation to work out like you once did, and you're just looking for something that might be missing, well, Apollo Men's Health can tell you exactly what that might be, and they can also set up a plan to fix it. They are experts at testosterone therapy. You could do the traditional testosterone therapy approach, or you could do cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy that reduces your weekly visits, but also maintains your overall wellness in a more convenient way. They also offer body composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy, and everything that they do is centered about increasing your overall quality of life. Because at the end of the day, your health is your wealth, so you need to invest in yourself. Call them today, 832-664-9966, or go to their website, apollomh.com. You can book your first appointment. Most major insurance accepted and discounts for military personnel and first responders. Check them out, Apollo Men's Health.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final half hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday as we help you get through your day. Fellas, I saw this. Lisa and I talked about it. I still am in complete disbelief over this, but I thought I would get your thoughts. The towel that Kobe Bryant had draped over his shoulders when he gave the famous Mamba out speech after his last game just sold at auction for the second time. Now, the first time, just to give you an idea, and this was obviously the first time, was when he was retired, still living, everything was, you know, just Kobe being Kobe. It sold for over $6,000. Do you want to guess what this towel sold for recently?
No. Probably crazy.
Someone paid $30,000. Make it right, I make it right. $30,000 for the towel. Not signed. Not like, I don't know how you really prove it, but I guess since it sold twice at auction, there had to be some kind of authentication. But there's some diehard Laker fan that I guess people in LA know that has just this ridiculous collection of Laker memorabilia paid $30,000 for a, I think it's a Powerade towel. You know, all the towels have logos on them, and there's nothing to differentiate it other than someone's authentication that they said it was the one he had on his shoulders. He had given it to a fan, or a fan took it off his shoulders when he walked off the court. And that's how they sold it the first time. But $30,000 for a towel.
That just amazes me that people think, oh, well, this, you know, I have to have this. This is, and then you pay that. I don't understand.
How do you authenticate that though? Like, this definitely smells like Kobe's sweat. I'm paying at least $30,000 for this towel.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, Nick, but I would think somehow, some way there's DNA testing that can say Kobe's DNA was on that towel, but it seems like a whole hell of a lot of work for a towel. I get it. If you have like, obviously something like a game worn jersey, even more so a game worn signed jersey. Now that's his jersey. You can authenticate it. There's a tag on it that says it was his. And, of course, he signed it, and his signature anywhere is going to be worth money. But just saying or putting it out there, I have the towel that he wore. I get that it's, like, limited edition, obviously very limited. But, yeah, I'm just – what, are you going to put that in a frame? And, you know, here's a couple jerseys, and then here's this towel. I don't know, $30,000.
How much would you pay for, like, a sweaty Aaron Rodgers towel or a Giannis towel?
No.
Oh, there you go.
Nope, don't
Barry,
need it.
How much for a Patrick Mahomes, a sweaty Patrick Mahomes Super Bowl towel? How much would you pay?
No, a Richard Pryor, Barry. A Richard Pryor concert used towel.
Oh, boy. I don't know. If I'm being honest, maybe like $7.
Exactly.
I'm not doing it.
I'm not either. Like, I get it. And I, like I said, from a jersey perspective, especially because, like, I'll give you an example. Like in, was it 92 or whatever, the 100th year anniversary of the NBA, Clyde, they had the uniforms had a patch on it for the 100-year anniversary, so it made it different than years past. Clyde was with the Blazers, and Clyde wore that warm-up, and I got it from my friends at the Blazers at the end of the year as a gift, and he ended up signing it. That's the only one of its kind in existence. So that, and I got him to sign it. So now I'm like, that's a piece of memorabilia that I really know, you know, it has a lot of value, obviously to me because it was my first year working with the team, but also the fact that there aren't, like, you know, on Fanatics, you can just go out and buy a jersey. But a towel, to me, it's just, I don't see the value. Yeah. I get he wore, I mean, he kind of draped it over his shoulder, but it's crazy to me.
You know, I will say this, and I'm just trying to be the voice of reason here, but I think sometimes it's, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Where if you're a huge Kobe fan, and he was an important part of your life, and you're a sports collector and this and that, I guess you're like, if it's that important to you, you pay that money. But
well, and I think the other thing is that what you're touching on too, Barry, which is true, is, and you have money to burn. Like, if you have a ton of money and, you know, your thing is to collect Lakers stuff, then it obviously has a greater value sentimentally and otherwise than it would be to just some collector out there, you know, somewhere else in America.
Yeah.
I still always go back to the fact that someone is always out there willing to buy anything, because the night Steve Francis lost his tooth at Compaq Center, it was on eBay the next morning.
Oh, Lord.
And someone bought it. And someone bought it. Steve saw online.
Someone bought a tooth?
People were bidding to get Steve Francis's tooth. Well, you think about it. If you're going to get a towel that has the sweat of your favorite player, you might as well take it one step further. It doesn't get any more personal than having a man's tooth.
Man, dude, I just can't get down with buying a tooth. This borderlines on people that buy, like, serial killer stuff. No, right. People buy, like, oh, yep, this was Ted Bundy's hair. Okay, you're a weirdo, and you should probably be locked up because you're buying Ted Bundy's hair.
Not only that, but
you bought
seen
Steve
this
Francis's
before,
tooth, but which he might want to buy it back. Things have not been going well
for him. Okay. But he did, regardless of how things have been going, he did sign a max deal and get bought out from it. So hopefully he didn't run out of money, but that's
why
still
– why'd you avoid that, Joel?
Yeah, that's
– am I lying?
Nah, I'm not gonna.
I
hope Steve's doing well during these times of the coronavirus and other things, and just taking care of himself.
Nice.
You think about what you said about serial killers. The crazy thing was, and we talk about these guys that do these autograph shows and just sit down and get paid, you know, mounds of money to just sign their name for an hour or two. Literally, like Charles Manson. And as you mentioned, a lot of the serial killers on death row that hadn't been put to death yet were making money hand over fist while in prison by getting things sent to them, signing them and sending them back, so that idiots online could buy these signed things from these serial killers. It's
murderabilia.
That's exactly what it's called, yes.
Yeah, because that instructor, that guy who coined that term and made it an official word, I forgot his first name, but his last name is Khan, and he was a friend of my instructor. And spoke to us at the University of Houston. I just thought it was crazy because there's no way in hell I'm buying some murderer's hair. That's crazy.
It's even it's one thing to say, well, I just want something signed by Jeffrey Dahmer or, like I said, Charles Manson or someone like that. But it's another level of maybe they should be having some kind of a mental test if they're buying, like, the hair of, like, John Wayne Gacy, whoever it was. That's nuts.
But paying for a tooth isn't.
I'm not saying that was normal either.
Okay.
It wasn't a gold tooth, right? It was just a tooth.
Just a tooth. Yeah. At this point, it was just a tooth.
I can't get over that. And the hair and the murderers and the, what'd you call it? Murderabilia.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh my God. In fact, today I was up in my attic and saw my old, I was like, I really just need to throw this stuff out. I have, you know, those big plastic tubs that if you were a serial killer, you might chop up a few body parts and put them in one. I have like five of those full of baseball cards. I just would like, I don't know what to do with this crap.
I'm with you. It's a hopefully it's a cool, dry place, by the way. But I was telling someone the other day, one of my friends was like, man, back in the day, I collected all these basketball cards. I said, do you still have them? He goes, yeah, I saved them all. I was like, unfortunately, the cards that used to have this insane value, like all of a sudden it just people lost interest for whatever reason. And the prices all plummeted because I used to always think I had all these rookie cards of like Joe Montana and big time players to where I was like, you know what? Someday these could like put my kids through college. And then all of a sudden I lost touch with it. And I'm like you, I just put the cards away. And when we moved, I came across and was like, I wonder how much these are worth now. The value was just like a quarter of what it was when I first got them.
Yeah, it's depressing. I wonder if that'll happen to Murderabilia as well, where it's like, yeah, well, you know.
Or just memorabilia too.
Yeah,
we're talking about this stuff. Yeah, towels.
All of it has to go down, right?
I would think so. I don't know. I mean, yeah, because, I mean, when we were kids, we collected beer cans. And then at that time, there was a lot of value in certain beer cans, rare beer cans and things like that. But just like anything else, you got to believe. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like Jimmy Carter's brother, Billy Carter, had Billy Beer. And there were certain random cans you could find that, especially, and obviously the unopened ones too, but they had value. There was a company on the East Coast that manufactured beer cans with the Pittsburgh Steelers and other teams' picture on the can. You know how they do those, like, limited edition, like Bud Light last year did, you know, for almost every team in the league. They did certain limited edition cans. Those things had value. And back in the day, they had a lot of value for can collectors. And we used to collect beer cans.
That's interesting.
That is very strange.
I would imagine the Pepsi can is the Pepsi can from the 80s might be like a classic collectible, right? Maybe?
Yeah, a lot of them it's because we're talking about cans now, not aluminum. Back then there was a lot of really like solid metal cans for beverages too, especially the beer came in, and it was part of the freshness and part of for whatever reason. But yeah, there were, and just like there, you get Beckett's and those books that tell you how much the cards were worth. There were magazines that were out there that told you like the value of certain beer cans. And my sister's husband was a big beer connoisseur back in the day. And he's the one that tipped me off to collecting beer cans. And there were a lot of beer cans that had a lot of value.
And now?
Nah. Mm-mm. I mean, I'm sure if you found first of all, if you found some unopened Billy beer, don't open it. But, I mean, maybe there are some random beer cans I'd have to look that still have some kind of value. But I think it would be more sentimental than it would be like a dollar value. Just, I mean, that's just me, but I can look it up in the break.
I was Googling Billy beer just to see what it was worth.
It was actually kind of a neat, like had like an orange background, like a rectangle with Billy and blue letters outlined in one, and it kind of stuck out like it was catchy to the eye. Let's just say that.
It's worth 25 cents a can.
Well, good thing I got rid of it when I did.
25 cents.
Oh, here you go.
It says one estimate value of the number of Billy Beer cans made is 2 billion. As a result, it's worth about 25 cents at most, and then only if in very good shape.
So here you go. Beer can values and prices. The value of a vintage beer can run the spectrum of virtually nothing, Billy Beer, to upwards of $25,000.
What?
Yep.
Boy.
Did they ever put like cheese in cans back in the day? Maybe you have one of those, Joel.
No, sir.
Can of cheese.
There was a surplus last year, I'm just saying.
I'm going to Google how much is a tooth worth.
Maybe you can put Steve Francis' tooth. It might still be out there. He might be selling it.
Get the price for a gold tooth, too. I'm just curious.
Okay. So we're going to talk about gold teeth and beer cans next. Don't go anywhere. It's the final segment coming up. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
The usual suspects, ESPN 97.5, final segment of the show. So I remind you, if you missed any portion of today's program, what you need to do is you need to click on ESPN975.com. Top of the page is a tab for the usual suspects. Click on that. Menu comes down. Catch up on all the segments that you missed. And while you're there, you can also download the app. Take us anywhere, everywhere, and never miss another portion of our show or any other show on the station. Okay, Barry, I've got beer can information if you've got teeth.
Yes. So Nicholas wanted to know, how much is it to get a gold tooth? Mm-hmm. And a quick Googles says gold crown tooth teeth without insurance can cost upwards of $2,500 per gold crown and anywhere between $800 and $1,500 per crown in general. So if you want to go gold, it's going to cost you about $2,500.
It's expensive.
Man.
Yeah. And again, if you want to do one up front, it can run anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000. So
that's another just another way
just
to
go buy again, a grill from Johnny Dang. It might be cheaper.
Right. Because otherwise it's just another way that people that have a lot of money and run out of ways to spend it decide that they can show off by getting a mouthful of metal.
That's right. Just another way for the man to keep us down.
Yeah. So there's a website called steelcanvas.com, and believe me, they are one in the business of trying to take you to the cleaners, because there's a tab for if you want to sell cans, and it first says we do not purchase pull-top beer cans manufactured after the early 70s, but if your collection includes pull-tops, read definitely below to see if we can buy from you, and they just set you up. It's like, what are you inquiring about? Which beer can? Give me a description. How's the condition of the can? List the highlights of your collection. How long have you owned it? And then at the end, it's like, what are you thinking this is worth? Because if some guy says, hey, I got this can, and it turns out they know more than you and know that it's worth, like, a lot, they'll be like, well, I'll give you $10. Oh, okay, cool. What's your address? And then they end up cashing in. So they're just trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. $25,000 for some of the rarest of rare cans. And I'll have you know, Nicholas, that one of them that they feature is several, actually, are Milwaukee beers. There's an old Milwaukee's Best in a steel can and a Milwaukee Valley beer that had a flat top that made it rare. And some of these cans can get up into the range of $25,000. Now, I dare challenge vintage steel canvas beer cans that they're not going to fork out 25 large for that, but we don't know.
We know.
Yeah, I don't see how that's happening, but okay. I just think that, you know, this is, again, people that are still trying to legitimize a hobby of just getting that they're alcoholics, or they were back in the day, and they just saved all the cans.
Okay, quick question for you guys from Twitter. Am I being petty when other people tweet us stuff that another radio show on another station does? And I'm like, why are you tweeting me stuff from another show on another station? Am I being petty? Because they were like, I said, look, it's like you tweeting McDonald's that Burger King is having a sale on Whoppers right now. I don't care what other shows on other stations are doing or if they have a funny tweet. I just don't. You can tweet me stuff about shows on our station, but I'm like team ESPN. If I ever get fired and end up at another station, then I'm team that station. But right now, I'm team ESPN. Like, I don't care what other shows do. Am I being petty? I mean, I know I'm petty as it is, but am I being super petty?
I mean, not any more petty than you are on a daily basis. But
okay. I didn't ask that.
I think a lot of times
that was a petty answer, Joel.
Okay, sorry. I think a lot of times, too, people want to be recognized. As you've said, like, they want their tweet read, or they want this shout-out, or they want this or that. And if it didn't get run on another station, then maybe if it gets run and they're responsible for it.
Sean Sweeney sent us a tweet from the Rod Ryan show. And I'm like, bro, I don't care what Rod Ryan and his show is tweeting, honestly. Is that petty?
I think if it's like a Rod Ryan morning show or someone that's not in direct not from another sports radio station, I think it's fine.
Okay.
Like if someone sent us something, yeah, go ahead, Nick.
Maybe a little bit, maybe.
Okay. Fair enough.
If someone sent us something from the B team, that would be offensive.
Oh, but they've done that too. That's why I brought it up, because this is the second time I've gotten a tweet from, I don't know if it was Wexler or Clanton or somebody at 790, and I'm like, bro, I don't care what those cats are tweeting. They're doing their thing. Now, if I'm friends with them, like I'm friends with Sean Pendergast, I'm friends with Jeremy Branham, that's different, but I don't know them cats, and I don't care about their show.
Well, I know Wex, you know? And I talk a lot, yeah. But I don't think we're never going to talk about, hey, I want to, you know, I'm thinking about using this on my show, or something that we talked about I'm not going to put, you know, on the show.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll just check in. Just checking.
Yeah, and I saw he just tweeted you again and said, no, it's not. It was funny and on topic. I was just giving them credit. Well, we're not going to give credit to other stations. That's just the way we do things. We may do the opposite, but I don't know that we've given much credit.
Oh, we did get a text from a listener, and I wanted to get this out of the way before we have to get off the air. So a real quick answer, but this is what it says. What up, suspects? I work at a small dealership. My boss is making us work, knowing we're supposed to be closed, threatening us by firing us if we don't. Like it, our manager and his favorite employees are often getting paid, making us work in the back and telling us not to walk in front of the store. He made us work last week. He still owes us some hours. I don't know what to do, guys. Any tips? I would report him.
I would too.
I would, behind the scenes, I would just send an anonymous email or something. Go create a new Gmail account that's anonymous and just send an email to somebody and be like, look, this business is open. There's people in the back. You should come down and shut us down.
There's plenty of local TV stations that are boarding the investigative department right now that'd be happy to get involved.
Yep.
So you can do that route too. And they'll do the dirty work for you, and then it doesn't look like you did anything. So there you have it. And then maybe report it to Crime Stoppers, and maybe you get a $5,000 reward, and it covers it, and you get a little extra bonus out of the deal.
When I asked about being petty, one person tweeted, "Yes, you are petty," in all capitals. And then they texted, maybe you need to care about what is important to your listeners. Well, look, go listen to the Rod Ryan show then. That's stupid. You don't understand what I'm asking, dumb texter.
Yeah, and it's the same people that tell us a segment we need to move on and keep texting it and keep texting it. You know what? Not every segment is going to be to your fancy or liking, but you're still listening, so it's okay. It really
is. Yeah, it's funny that what's important to my listeners is happening on the Rod Ryan Twitter page. Then go follow him on Twitter. I'm just saying, don't send it to me because I don't care. Idiot. All right.
We'll end on a positive. Excellent end to a good show, fellas. All right. Well, we appreciate you guys being suspects and listening on a daily basis. We'll be back tomorrow, so hopefully you will be too. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. The Blitz is coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the
Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, what the hell?
Ain't this some sh**?
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Oh, I'm in a glass case of emotion.